Okay, I would like to introduce Catherine. She's going to talk about fear tonight. And would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up?
Yes.
Okay, Lynn will give you a 5-minute warning. All right, go ahead, Catherine. It's all yours.
Hi, I'm Catherine. I'm a grateful, recovered alcoholic, recovered codependent, adult child of an alcoholic. And I have been kind of the founder. I do a meeting on Thursday evening at 6:15 Pacific time about emotional sobriety, which puts the focus on recovery from controlling, fixing addiction to adrenaline and chaos. We read the list of the characteristics of chaos creators at every meeting. I had long recovery before we started that meeting. That meeting started about 10 years ago. It used to be an in-person meeting before the pandemic. And I had long recovery before that, but in AA and in Al-Anon, but I never really solved fear problem until I worked the steps the BBA way, because the codependent controller fixer in me was always looking at the legitimacy of my fears rather than and I would pray, I would do the prayer, right? It was like we let him demonstrate through us what he could do. We ask him to remove our fear and ask our attention. I would do it a lot. I would do fear inventory so often. But what I didn't really understand is, and it's embarrassing looking back on it now, of the spiritual error, is that I believed in my fear. I believed in my fear. I thought
Oh,
because my fears were logical and they were
Oh,
legitimate
¿puedes
and I
repetir
wasn't
algo?
making them up, they weren't
¿Te puedo
fake
mandar la
fears.
dirección?
Hello, is somebody talking over me?
Yes,
If you
somebody is
could
not
mute
muted.
yourself.
I'm trying to handle that right now here. Lauren is not muted.
Fixing, underlying core beliefs. I thought that if a fear was legitimate, right, that it was somehow it had more power than God, which was, objectionable, but it was an underlying belief that was operating. It was like an operating system, like a virus operating without me even knowing it was going on. It was just like a default that I kept going back to. And so here in the book it talks about it. Notice the word fear bracketed alongside the difficulties. It somehow touches every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set into motions trains of circumstances which brought us the misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to be cause more trouble. Now, interestingly enough, for big bookers, this is the only spot in the entire big book where they mention that something is actually evil. And it's not that fear is evil. Fear is natural, right? We have a natural fear that comes up. It's the belief that the fear is bigger and more powerful than God, That's what's evil. The belief that fear is more powerful, is a better teacher, is a better instructor, has more power than God. That's what's evil. Because the very basis of that idea is that, fear is a good.
Catherine, we can't hear you.
We've lost you again, Catherine. We can't hear you. Can you turn off your video, Catherine? I'm not sure she. Okay, it's kind of garbled. We can't understand what you're saying, Catherine. Here's okay.
The fear, the d
Catherine, I want to try to interrupt you and have you turn your video off because sometimes that helps. Let's see. Now I think we lost her completely. Did we? Yeah, we lost her completely.
I bet he'll be right back.
Okay. See if she's coming back in.
I logged on
Okay.
from a different device.
Oh, great.
Hopefully that will. Hello, can you see me
Oh,
and hear me better now?
yes, way better. Much better.
I
Thank
logged
you.
on from a completely different device.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I often think that these technical difficulties are sort of a nice metaphor for our own recovery. That sometimes we run into snafus and sometimes we just got to log on from another device. And in one way, I was talking about how, my addiction has me believing that the fear is more real than God. That my belief, especially in my codependency, that my belief in my hypervigilance, that if I'm cautious enough, if I scan the horizon enough, if I believe that adrenaline will keep me safe, that somehow I'll be able to figure it out and I'll be able to keep myself safe from my fears with self-will, basically. And of course, that's objectionable because it's not God-reliant, right? Self-reliance fails, and that it's that God reliance that I need in order to be free from the fear. And so when I think about, my so when I started doing the emotional sobriety work, some of you, very few of you I know, because I know very few people in UK, but my son was born with a life-threatening birth defect. And so and he we he kind of it's similar in some way. It's not diabetes, but it's similar to diabetes in the fact that he can go into a life-threatening crisis and be going into shock and almost dying, and it can happen in like 10 or 20 minutes. So you can see where vigilance in that situation would be a sane and normal reaction to that situation. And I am vigilant the same way we would be with a toddler, right? Like I set things in place. I have the emergency jet object, injection. We have relationships with doctors. We have systems in place. I keep an eye on him. I make sure he has his medication, all that kind of thing. But I'm not believing that the fear is going to keep him safe. And that kind of like was a process of like doing my inventories and then, getting to the end of the inventory and realizing that I had the belief that in this case, self-reliance had to work, that self-reliance could not fail. And the spiritual problem with that is not only objectionable, the spiritual problem is that then we translate that into every area. I translated it into every area of my life. And the constant hypervigilance had me in adrenaline all the time. And there was never a place where, I could relax and take it easy and trust and rely on God because I was relying on my hypervigilance. In going through the process of like inventorying those fears, getting to the end of the fears, reading the fears out loud to a sponsor, like seeing the futility and the fatality of it. The futility was that no matter how hypervigilant I was, it wasn't going to, I'm never going to have as much power or courage or control or knowledge or wisdom as God. Never, ever, ever. And when I was believing in the hypervigilance to the exclusion of trusting on God, I was burning up energy, foolishly to the extent where, I mean, it was really taking me out of a lot of life because I was exhausted from being hypervigilant all the time. And of course, I'm an ACA. I was raised in an alcoholic, household. So some of you who might have been raised in that kind of abusive environment knows of that you really know like that hypervigilance that comes along with that. And so the problem is that it doesn't go far enough and it's exhausting. And I'm not learning to trust and rely on God. So how do I trust and rely on God when there is real true hazards in life? It's like I suit up, I show up, I do what's in front of me. I set up systems into place to do my best, right? So in the case of my son with his life-threatening illness, I have the emergency injection packet and I have systems in place to check on him. And we go to the regular doctor's visits, which that's not really enough because the doctor is only every 3 months. But I just have like the checks in place, and then I turn it over to God and I trust and rely that the information will be given to me in the time when it comes up. And then this also applies to, like the working life and money and home situation and relations with family members, that I don't have to prepare for every possible contingency, that instead I can do my prayer and meditation, turn my fears over to God, right? And then trust that God will give me more information as it goes along. that I can relax and take it easy, not because every single possible hazard is taken care of in advance. That's the belief of the controller fixer. I can relax and take it easy, trusting and relying that God will give me the information I need as it comes up, that I don't have to be hyper vigilant about every possible hazard in every moment, because I can trust that God will give me the information I need as it comes up. So then there I go, and any of you who know me know I highly rely on the set aside prayer. So God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know, even about fear, right? Even about my addiction. Help me to see the truth that you will be there for me and that I'll be given the information I need as I need it.
Catherine, that's 5 minutes.
Right. So this powerful thing, the powerful thing of, I mean, any of you who maybe work in business know this like supply line thing of just in time. My relationship with God becomes this kind of just in time thing that I don't have to have a huge inventory of over preparedness and hyper vigilance all the time to deal with fear. That as things come up, God will give me the wisdom and the power to carry it out just in time in that moment. Of course, it absolutely is my response. I mean, I make sure that I, for example, with my son's life-threatening medical condition, we make sure that we have enough injection packets on hand. We have one, in my backpack, in his backpack, and we make sure that we have backup supply. When it comes, we do the normal things to be prepared, right? Like we pay the rent on time and I have enough in savings that I can pay the rent the next month. I do the normal things, but I cannot prepare for every catastrophe in advance. There, I trust and rely that God will give me more information as it comes along. And this has been an incredible, especially for a controller fixer addicted to the adrenaline of fear, right? To like trust and rely that God will give me the information I need in the next moment has been an incredible shift in my recovery. Because when I'm living on a basis of trusting and relying on my fear, I'm never having the experience of God reliance. And I'm never having the experience of serenity. And I'm never have, even if I profess that belief, I can't ever really let go if I'm believing that my hypervigilance is going to protect me, which is self-reliance, which always fails, has been proven to me in my first step. And so no wonder I'm so afraid all the time when I'm relying on the self-reliance. No wonder I'm so afraid because I realize how limited I am and how limited my resources are. So if I move into this space instead of saying, okay, I'm not enough, but God will give me enough in that moment. So then God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know, including my fear, for an open mind and a new experience. Help me to see the truth about God reliance, about the miracle, that God can give me that miracle in the moment. And then there, then it's like in response to the fear is the experience of relaxing and taking it easy. Not that I've taken care of every single contingency in life. I'm not relaxing and taking it easy based upon self-reliance. I'm relaxing and taking it easy, trusting that God will give me what I need as it comes. And this is extremely powerful for any kind of addict like me, because what it does is it places me into this relationship with God where I'm God reliant. It also places me into a place where, like, I'm trusting and relying that God will give me sanity. Like, what would a sane person do in that circumstance? That I don't have to take it all out in advance. And I very often find that, like doing the fear grid brings me into this place of like kind of like exorcising those fears. And it brings me into this much more like humble, sane space. That's the beautiful thing about our method of addressing the fears in BBA is the result is I'm end up being more sane. And because I'm more sane, I'm actually better at like just preparing for normal life stuff that happens because I'm not so afraid that I'm avoiding it. And that's really, it's just very powerful miracle that was exceeded all expectations. And my experience was when I got on the other side of that, was the place that I got where the fear was removed. It was very unfamiliar. As someone who had been hypervigilant my whole life, it was very unfamiliar, but it was also like safe. And that it's like, oh, okay, God will give me the information I need when it comes up.
Catherine, that's time.
And that's the time. So God will give you the information you need when it comes up. Thank you.